And welcome back to 10 Years Gone or So, the podcast where we look at movies, where I look at movies that I haven't seen in about 10 years or so. And this week, we are looking at Halloween 1978 in preparation and celebration of Halloween, the new movie that's coming out, and the holiday, which I still think they should call October Halloween, just so everybody can say Happy Halloween first, Happy Halloween second, Happy Halloween third, and so forth and so forth and so on. This here is the precast to the full movie cast. I'll be giving you my thoughts and whatnot on this movie before I seen it the first time. And it's been about 10 years since I've seen this, which is kind of surprising because this is one of my, if not my favorite, not Halloween, horror movie. Although it technically is one of my favorite Halloween movies. It's one of the better ones. Actually, it's the best one because it's the first one. So this movie was filmed in 1978. The original title was The Babysitter Killers. But writer and director John Carpenter and Deborah Hill, who helped him write it and direct it, who was his girlfriend at the time. And from what I understand, before they've got, I guess, separated from each other, they were supposed to get married or was talking about getting married, because from all the interviews that I've listened to, everybody was so sad when they got when they broke up. So I don't know, I guess they were supposed to get married or was thinking about getting married or just been together for a long time, and then kaputz, that stuff happens. Shout out to Deborah Hill. She died in 2005. What is it here, March 7th, 2005. She was born November 10th, 1950, and she was taken down by the old big C word, cancer. Which, every time I think of that, I think of Family Guy, so it takes a little bit of the edge off. But I lost my mom to cancer, so I can joke a little bit. But, yeah, cancer's a bitch, so. And that's what happened to Miss Hill in 2005, which is very, 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 very sad. I wish we could have seen, or wish she could have seen and been around for this new Halloween that's coming around. Maybe she could have helped John Carpenter write it and, you know, maybe shut the motherfuckers up that are yelling about, oh, it's not Halloween, Deborah Harris is not going to be in it because of this, that, and the other. They're no longer sisters, blah, blah, blah. Or not sisters, but they're no longer related, and she's no longer his sister, and he's no longer her brother. Fun fact, peoples, John Carpenter didn't even want to make a second Halloween. After the end of the first Halloween, he said Michael Myers, a.k.a. The Shape, was dead. And then since he was, since he was convinced into making another movie, i.e., here's another zero, Mr. Carpenter. Oh, not enough. Here's another zero, Mr. Carpenter. Oh, not enough. Here's another zero. Oh, that's enough zeros at the end of the one. Okay, good. And he even said himself that the only reason they're brother and sister is because he was sitting at the typewriter, because back when he wrote Halloween 2, they wrote a lot of stuff on typewriters. Even though there was computers, because I think Halloween 2 was done in 82, 83. It just wasn't readily available, so he was sitting down in his typewriter with a six-pack of beer going, I think he even said Heineken, if I remember correctly. What do I do next to make this story last a couple more scenes longer so I can fill out this movie? I know! They'll be brother and sister. Glub, 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 glub. He's even admitted to hating doing this and hating writing the second one because, you know, even though he was commissioned to do it and probably given a decent amount of money, he was done with the story. That's why he hardly ever touched the story after Halloween 2. That's why he tried to go a different direction in Halloween 3. Just thought I'd lay down a little bit of facts for you for all the little fucking nanny goats screaming, oh, but they're not brother and sister no more. Oh, no, Deborah Harris is not going to be in it. Outside of giving Deborah Harris a different role besides Jamie Lloyd, like Rob Zombie did in his, you know, he even though she wasn't part of the first or second one as, you know, Jamie Lloyd or anything like that, he put Deborah Harris in as Annie, which was cool and it's fine. And they could have put Deborah Harris in as, you know, maybe Annie again or someone else just to get her in the picture, even because she has done a lot with the franchise and she was in 4 and 5. But that was as a little kid and as Jamie Lloyd's, or not Jamie Lloyd's, but Laurie Strode's daughter in this one, which is the direct sequel to the first one. Let me repeat that, kids. This one is coming out October 19th. The Halloween H4O, 40 years later, is a direct sequel to Halloween 1978. That means Halloween 2, Halloween 3, Halloween 4, Halloween 5, Halloween 666, Halloween 7, H2O, which I think is Halloween 7, and Resurrection did not happen in this timeline. There is no Jamie Lloyd. There is no Busta Rhymes beating up Michael Myers. There is no brother and sister thing. There isn't any Jamie Lee Curtis, or not Jamie Lee Curtis, but Laurie Strode accidentally chopping the head off of somebody that had his mouth taped shut or glue shut or whatever the fucking rehash of the ending of H2O was, since they had to make a fucking another one. You know, because we had to get Busta Rhymes in there beating some peoples up. I ain't gonna talk bad about Tyra. I like her on America's Got Talent. And she is fucking gorgeous. But fucking Busta Rhymes, wah, psh, psh, psh. He's not Bruce Lee, and he tried to fight Michael Myers like Bruce Lee. So, you know, it's kind of dumb. So that's why they're doing a restart on the franchise, I guess. And from what I understand, John, if he has his way, he's actually going to finish it. And he also said in an interview that he's wanting to direct at least one more movie before he retires. Give him Halloween 3 and let him finally kill the Shape once and for all. Give it. He birthed the Shape. He can kill the Shape. He's the only one that can kill the Shape. Just like Wes Craven was the only one that could kill Freddy Krueger. And since Freddy Krueger's still alive, Freddy Krueger's going to be alive forever until Robert Englund doesn't want to play it no more. Which, fun fact, he still wants to play it at 72 years old. So, you know. And now it's time to get into the cast list for Halloween 1978. Or I should say John Carpenter's Halloween 1978. I pretty much know it off the top of my head, but I'm going to go ahead and read it off of IMDb.com. We got the writing credits here. We've got John Carpenter, screenplay. Deborah Hill, screenplay. So they're both the screenplay writers here. John Carpenter and Deborah Hill wrote this movie. You start off here. I guess they go in. And I guess we're doing this in alphabetical order. We're going to start with Mr. Donald Pleasance as Sam Loomis. Mrs. Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode. Nancy Kyles, K-Y-E-S. Nancy Kyles as Annie. Or credited in this movie as Nancy Loomis for some reason. P.J. Souls as Linda. Charlie Cypher as Sheriff Brackett. Kayla Richards as Little Lindsay. Brian Andrews as Little Tommy. John Michael Graham as Bob. Nancy Stevens as Marion. M-A-R-I-O-N. And you have Nick Castle as Michael Myers, and or The Shape, as he's called in the screenplay. And you have Tony Moron, Michael Myers at age 23. I'm pretty sure that's the guy that gets unmasked after he gets poked in the eye towards the end of the movie. And Will, S-A-N-D-I-N, as Michael Myers, age 6. He's the little kid that stands outside of his house and waits for his mom and dad to find him instead of, you know, running away or something. But yeah. Then you had Sandy Johnson as Judith Myers, and Peter Griffin as Laurie's father. Oh, and David Kyle as Judith Myers' one-pump boyfriend. You know, the guy that goes upstairs, then we count to like maybe one, and he comes downstairs. Oh, I gotta go. Yeah, that guy, one-pump chump. And that's the cast list. This film will run you around 91 minutes, 101 minutes with the extended TV version. There's a mono sound, color. All right, let's get into the plot summary. I'm going to go ahead, and I'm pretty sure everybody knows the plot summary by now, but I'm going to go ahead and read it here off of IMDb. It says, the year is 1963. The night, Halloween. Police are called to 43 Lampkin Lane, only to discover that a 15-year-old Judith Myers has been stabbed to death by her 6-year-old brother, Michael. After being institutionalized for 15 years, Myers breaks out on the night before Halloween. No one knows nor wants to find out what will happen on October 31st, 1978. Besides Myers's physician, Dr. Sam Loomis, he knows Michaels is coming back to Haddonfield. By the time the town realizes it's too late for many people. But seriously, yep, that's the plot synopsis. End of movie. No, I'm just playing. So a little bit of disclosure here. When I first seen Halloween 1, I guess you'd call it the original Halloween 1978, I already seen Halloween 4, 5, I think 6, and I may have seen 2 before 1, I'm not for sure. I had to, when I was younger, unlike you, whippersnappers, get off my lawn! Or whatever funny joke you want to insert there, but seriously, I had to go to the video store down the road, which was not Blockbuster, it was Movies to Go, and then it turned into Premiere Video, but while it was Movies to Go, they had all the Halloweens up to 6, I think it was, but number 1 was never in, so I got tired of waiting and rented number 4 and 5, which were pretty good. You could kind of, if you've never seen 1 or 2, 2, and especially 3, because it has nothing to do with the Michael Myers storyline. But if you haven't seen 1 and 2, and you kind of and you hop in on 3 and 4, or 4 and 5, I mean, you should be alright, because it's almost a completely different storyline from 1 and 2. But I would recommend starting at 1 and working your way through. And if you want, you can skip 3. I wouldn't, because it's a pretty decent movie, but it has nothing to do with Michael Myers. And the only time Michael Myers is in it is when the lead character, I can't think of his name right now, goes into a bar looking to talk to someone, and there's a commercial on TV. It says, right after right after the world premiere of the movie Halloween, you will see our commercial, and you know the silver shamrock thing plays, and happy Halloween. But we're not on that movie right now. We're on Halloween 1. But that's the only time Michael Myers makes any type of appearance in Halloween 3. So be warned, if you listen to this, there is no Michael Myers, and it has nothing to do with the Shape storyline or the Michael Myers storyline at all. So just be fair warned. This movie has a great little tagline. It's called The Night He Came Home. And again, if you watch this movie and you happen to skip Halloween 2 and go and try to watch everything else, or you just stop at this movie, they're not brother and sister until the second one. So just figured I'd let you in on that. If you think you're going to get some type of revelation of them being brothers and sister if you've never watched Halloween 1978, which if you plan on watching the second one, Halloween 2018, you might want to check this one out, 1978, so you can get a little bit of a primer, whatever you want to call it, for the storyline, because it's basically a complete continuation of Halloween, only 40 years later. But yeah, as a kid, I was kind of scared of this movie. I thought it was really super scary. I've already cut my teeth on Scream and Scream 2, and at that time, Scream 3 hasn't come out yet, so I was renting some old-school B-horror movies from the place, and, you know, cutting my teeth on some old-school horror movies. I would technically say my first horror movie was Jaws, but I was so young and I live in the middle of the country that it didn't really scare me. It was more interesting and actually, to me, had more of a memory of an action flick. And then as I grew up and watched it when I was older and mature, it's definitely a horror movie, Jaws, that movie. Yeah, Jaws is definitely a horror movie, but as a young kid, I didn't think it was a horror movie. I thought it was more of like an action movie, even though there was a bunch of blood and guts and people dying. Still, though, you know, that happens in a lot of action movies, too. But I guess my proper introduction to horror was Scream 2, then Scream 1. Yeah, seems like a pattern here. And then, forget what I jumped into after that, because I wanted to start with Halloween 1, so I just waited. Used to get in trouble by my parents for waiting until past supper, or waiting until the sun goes down, or waiting until the movie store down the street closed, waiting for Halloween. They'd be like, it's supposed to be in today. You can wait here, or we can call you. And I would usually wait, or I'd wait for them to call me. And if they didn't call me within like 2 or 3 hours of the time it was supposed to be in, because I think I think it was by the end of the day. So like, if they didn't call me by the end of the day, I would show up the next day. It's like, hey, did the movie come in? Like, no. So I would go browse for about an hour or two until my parents would be like, hey, get your ass home, it's time for dinner. And I'd be like, okay. Then finally I just tapped out and rented Halloween 4 and 5. And then I rented 6. And then I think I rented 3 and was intrigued by the movie, but disappointed that Michael Myers wasn't in it. But still, it was a good movie. I thought it was pretty good when I first watched it. And I think Halloween 2 came in. So I wait for 1? And it finally came in, and I watched 1 and 2. I can't remember. I know I started with 4 and 5 and 6, I think. I think I was watching the Leprechaun movies as I was waiting for the Halloweens to come in, and I finished them. I finished that series, which at the time, I think there was only 4 or 5, maybe. Yeah, there wasn't In the Hood and In the Hood 2 yet out, or he wasn't even in space quite yet at the time, so Shows you how long I had to wait. I went through 4 or 5 movies waiting for Halloween to come in, and finally said, fuck it, give me Halloween 4 and 5. And then I moved on to 6, and then like I said, I think I finally caught 1 and 2 in order, which really, and for some odd reason, it really didn't matter, because the stories pieced themselves together for me quite easily, you know, consuming them in different orders than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc., etc., because I consumed them 4, 5, 1, 2, or 4, 5, 3, 1, 2, 6, I think, which is kind of weird, but, you know, it still worked out. Because I'm pretty sure I seen 6 after I seen 1 and 2, because I remembered who Tommy Doyle was once they introduced him in Halloween 666. Like I said, this is one of the first horror franchises I got into. I think The Leprechaun, and then this, Then I think I was able to get into Freddy Krueger on the ground floor and work my way up. I think I may have skipped two because they never did have it. Well, they never had it in stock, so I just skipped two and went to 3, 4, 5 and whatnot, which skipping two in the Freddy Krueger series is not a bad idea. It's not the greatest movie in the world, and not because it's a gay movie, because it's just not the greatest movie in the world, in my opinion. But yeah, as I was looking at this, the more I read it, the more I seen the stuff on the back, and the more of the other movies I seen, especially 4 and 5, I would get a little antsy whenever I'd see it, and whenever it finally came in, I was super excited, but also super scared to watch it, because, you know, fucking first time I really got into horror movies was through, like I said, Scream, which was a slasher, and I was expecting all kinds of crazy shit with that movie, you know, seeing that movie, and even though there's not any or hardly any blood in the original Halloween, still creeped me out even after watching it. Oh boy, was I loved it. Fell in love with it. Fell in love with Jamie Lee Curtis. And from there on, I was a little disappointed that she wasn't in the rest of them outside of one and two. But I can understand after realizing she just wanted to be done with this and move on with her career in life. But you know, sometimes you make a movie that is so prolific that it becomes your life. Yeah, I was super excited when I was younger, and like I said, I was super scared. I ended up watching it by myself just because I didn't... Well, it was either that or I watched it with my friend, Little Tony, but I'm thinking I watched it by myself because I didn't want my friend to see that I was scared watching this movie because he's the one that introduced me to Scream, and he was just like, oh, it's just a movie, man. And yeah, we watched Scream 2 before I watched Scream 1, and the old infamous scene where they had to climb over the driver's seat, or climb into the driver's seat and over the killer who was knocked out in the driver's seat. Yeah, the first time I seen that, the tension was so bad, I had to go, quote-unquote, use the bathroom. I.e., go to the bathroom, turn the light on, stand there for a minute, pretend like I'm using it, shut the flush the empty toilet. Well, it's not empty because there's water in it, but you know what I mean, no pee in there. And, come back, like, oh man, what'd I miss? I really had to go. I can't believe I missed that. Are you, you know, man, did they finally got out? Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I was super scared of scary movies back then. Now I can watch the probably most goriest thing in the world and fall asleep like a little baby. Oh, what was that? Saw 5 is on? I'll watch it. Oh, you know what I mean? And now it's time for some more facts. We got the box office here. Its budget was an estimated $300,000. Only $300,000. It grossed, in the U.S. only, $47 million. Its cumulative worldwide gross is $70 million. So, I think they made their money back. And now it's time for some Did You Know facts. On the 25th anniversary disc of Halloween, John Carpenter states the original title sequence was supposed to be a long shot of the sidewalk ending with a Halloween mask on the floor. This idea was dropped, and the more iconic sequence of the jack-o'-lantern was used. Neat little tidbit, another tidbit, a part of the Did You Know facts here. Of all of the leading ladies, all the women that were supposed to be in high school, Jamie Lee Curtis, Nancy Loomis, and P.J. Souls, only Jamie Lee Curtis was an actual teenager at the time of shooting this movie. I think she was 19, but still, it's kind of funny. And it seems like half of the budget, the $300,000 budget, was spent on Panavision cameras, so the film would have a 2.35:1 scope ratio, and Donald Pleasance was paid $20,000 for 5 days of work. I wish I could get $20,000 for 5 days of work. That would be amazing. I would work for maybe a year and call it a life. And as we all know, the iconic Halloween theme was written in a rare, according to IMDb, I don't know how rare it is, but it was written in 5/4 time signature, a time signature rhythm that John Carpenter learned from his father. I think his father was a bongo or drum player, and he talks about how he learned it from his father. Another neat little fact here, the opening POV shot took 2 days to film, and John Carpenter composed the film in 4 days. Also, this is a fact I didn't even know, and I know my Halloween facts. But prior to the movie, a book was written by Curtis Richards and revealed more of the story behind Michael Myers' Rage. However, this book is very, very rare. I would like to find it. I probably wouldn't be able to afford it, but I would like to at least take a peek at it. And here's another fact I didn't know about Halloween. All of the actors wore their own clothes since there was no money for costumes. Jamie Lee Curtis herself went to JCPenney for Laurie Strode's wardrobe, and she spent less than $100 on the whole entire outfit. And she shot this film while on hiatus from the sitcom Operation Petticoat : Operation Petticoat, 1977. It's a neat little fact. I didn't know that. I didn't know they wore their own clothes. I knew they looked normal and everything, but I didn't know they had to either buy their own clothes or just wore their own clothes they wore to the set. That's pretty cool. Gives it that hometown, or more of that hometown feel that makes the movie so iconic and so fearsome and gruesome, because it's just a normal little neighborhood where evil comes and destroys, well, at the very least, destroys about 5 or 6 people. And the original shape, Nick Castle, who is also playing the Shape in the new Halloween movie, 2018, was really originally just to set watch the movie be filmed and help with some technical aspects here and there. And John Carpenter was like, "Hey man, you should play Michael Myers." So he did, and Nick Castle is, and that's why Nick Castle is the Shape in 1978 and 2018, because John Carpenter was just like, "Hey, you should be the Shape." Here's another little neat fact about the score. John Carpenter's iconic score for the movie was manifested from a female critic's negative review after seeing the movie with no sound, or with no composing track. And she said, "This movie wasn't scary hardly at all." And at that time, there was no music in the movie, like I said. So John Carpenter composed the fully improvised score within 3 days. And we have the very iconic, very creepy Halloween 5-4. And one final fact we'll go with the, one last fact. John Carpenter told the production designer, Tommy Lee Wallace, to go and find a government-looking, quote-unquote, government-looking car to be used by Dr. Lewis and Marone in the opening scenes. While Michael Myers ultimately steals and uses this car throughout the film, Wallace went to the nearest car rental agency and rented a 1976 Ford LTD station wagon. That was the only car that looked the part. Wallace hired it for... hired it, wow. Yeah, hired it's probably right, but Wallace hired it, quote-unquote, rented it for 2 weeks, installing a wire mesh divider between the front and rear seats and slapping Illinois state decals on the front doors. John Carpenter loved it, and the rental car agency had no idea that the LTD's usage in the film. That was hard to say for some reason. That's pretty neat. They rented a car for like 2 weeks, put it in the movie, and then returned it. Hopefully they got the insurance on it, because Michael Myers seemed to love that gas pedal. Okay, I said one more fact, but here's another fact. This is pretty much the inspiration for, at the very least, Michael Myers, if not the whole entire Halloween movie. The story is based on experience John Carpenter, the director, had in college when he was touring a psychiatric hospital. John Carpenter met and came across a child that was just blankly staring at him. And he later on went to say that kid had an evil look, or I should say, he looked at me with the look of evil, and it terrified me, as John Carpenter said. And that's where he gets the line of the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes, is from his experience with that little psychiatric. I think he was schizophrenic. And that was the stare of a schizophrenic, just kind of staring off, being all medded up, and it fucking creeped out John Carpenter, which it probably would creep me out too. And he wrote, at the very least, a whole entire character, if not a whole entire movie, around just that one experience. So, yay kid that scared John Carpenter, thanks for Halloween. Well, I think I ummed and hemmed and hawed enough through this precast. This is only going to be about a 30-minute precast, give or take. And like I said, when I first was going to watch it, I was completely scared. And I think I rented it and then sat on it for like 2 or 3 days. And then finally, right before I think I rented it for the weekend and didn't watch it until like Sunday before I went back to school, just so I could say I watched it and whatnot. So, but like I said, this by far was one of my favorite movies. The atmosphere is amazing. Jamie Lee Curtis was adorable and still is, if you ask me. And this quickly became one of my favorite movies. Just like I said, for the atmosphere, the story was really good, and a lot of people think it's a really bloody movie when it's not. There, like I said, there might be a little bit of blood whenever she stabs him in the side of the neck, or there might be some blood on the... Well, actually, there is no blood on the knife when she stabs him, which is weird. But like I said, there might be a little bit of blood on the stick pin when she stabs him, or maybe some blood on the coat hanger she uses to stab him in the eye before she stabs him with the knife. But other than that, there's no blood whatsoever, kind of like the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But before we get too awful long and I get to rambling about some other stuff and start stuttering some more, I'm gonna go ahead and let you guys go so you can listen to this and maybe catch the movie. I'll give you a full movie podcast once I watch it, which I'll probably watch it within the next couple of days, and hopefully by the weekend I'll have you a full movie